A reading from Julian of Norwich, chapter 24. Our good Lord said, "Look how I loved you, so much before I died for you that I was willing to die for you, and willingly suffered." Our good Lord revealed this to make us glad and joyful.
Reading from the Gospel according to St. John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Julian of Norwich, chapter 24. And so I understood that any man or woman who in this life willingly chooses God out of love may be sure of being loved without end.
Would you please now stand?
A reading from Julian of Norwich, chapter 27, in Middle English. Allah shalla be wella, and Allah shalla be wella, and Allah manner of thinga shalla be well. A reading from Julian of Norwich, chapter 86. Hold fast to this. I was taught that love was his meaning. Before God made us, he loved us, and this love has never abated, nor ever shall. May I speak now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the last 6 weeks, we have been journeying with Julian of Norwich through Lent in a series of compline reflections that many of you have been to over the weeks. We've been meditating on Jesus' passion and death, and her use of the ordinary passion icons and domestic everyday imagery, which has brought this vividly to life. On Wednesday, Julian's reflections brought us to the foot of the cross as Jesus is in his dying moments. Julian describes it as deep dying. It's a very challenging and uncomfortable place to sit and watch as Jesus is dying. It's very hard and painful. Our inclination is to look away. It's been especially difficult this Lent as we have been watching the horrors of war and brutal aggression unfold in Europe, witnessing evil and all its horrific consequences for the people of Ukraine. We have been brought to a place of darkness, overwhelming evil, pain, and suffering. And yet also surprisingly, we've been brought to a place of love and hope in the midst of fear. Because Julian's words are an encouragement to us to not to be afraid, to allow God to lead us through this time, and a really good reminder that we should know God is with us through and in everything, every minute of every hour of every day. The juxtaposition of suffering and love in Julian's reflections is very distinctive. Our own suffering, she teaches, is closely intertwined with Jesus's. His wounds reveal how intimately God loves us, she tells us. Jesus repeatedly reassures Julian, "Look how I loved you, willingly suffered and died for you." His love is inextricably linked with his own suffering, offering us, in Julian's words, great comfort. Jesus reveals this to her to make us all glad and joyful, because Jesus' love is endless, without beginning, and is and always shall be, she says. Love. Love is at the heart of today's gospel reading too. Jesus' love for his mother, his last words to ensure she's looked after and loved. And of course, Mary's love for Jesus. She's waiting and watching with great love and with great determination as he dies. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, the utter helplessness, hopelessness, and pain and despair Mary must have been feeling at that point. Her love for him is unconditional. Jesus' love for us is also on display. As Julian expresses it, "Look how I loved you so much before I died for you that I was willing to die for you and willingly suffered." And of course, Jesus' female disciples are at the foot of the cross too, with Mary, supporting her and supporting Jesus. They stood in solidarity, together, watching and waiting, determined to remain with Jesus until the very end, the ultimate expression of their deep love for him. All four Gospels record their presence, and as Luke puts it, they stood watching, whereas others turned away and left him. In the deepest, darkest places of evil and pain, Julian's conception of a compassionate God reaching into our suffering offers us hope and comfort and the reassurance that God will always love us. Whatever we're facing, we will not face it alone. For God, Julian observes, is perpetually with us, enfolding us, embracing us, and wholly enclosing us, surrounding us with tender love so that he can never leave us. God's love has never abated, she continues, nor ever shall. Jesus has been subjected to continuous brutality, as Julian puts it, contempt, spitting, soiling, and blows. And yet, love was his meaning. God's love is so powerful, it can sustain us through our darkest moments, for he dwells in us, she says, and here with us. This message resonates, especially today. It's a message and an antidote to despair, an anchor of reassurance in the face of doubting fear. Julian says, "It is God's will that we know that he hath not forgotten us. Because God's love endures forever. He loves us without end, even in our sorrow and darkness. His love is so powerful, it overcomes all that is evil. Love is stronger than death. Love wins over hatred." And we see that as Jesus is hanging on the cross. Julian urges us to hold fast to this reassurance, because God's love, in God's love, our life is everlasting. In this love, we have our beginning. Choose to believe in God, she urges. Trust in his saving power. I understand, she continues, that any man or woman who in this life willingly chooses God out of love may be sure of being loved without end, for he wants us to hold to this trustingly, that we may be certain in our hope. God's love gives us joy, inner peace, hope, and courage. God, she says, will make well all that is not well. What is impossible to you, God tells her, is not impossible to me. I shall keep my word in all things, and I shall make things well. Let's sit with this powerful message of hope. God will make all things well. Things which may seem impossible to you and I. And I think we can all think of places around the world and situations closer to home, maybe even within our own family situations, where things feel impossible. Things are heavy and dark. But God says, what is impossible to you is not impossible to me. I shall keep my word in all things, and I shall make things well. He wants us to know that the smallest thing will not be forgotten. Nothing is impossible for God. In Julian's writings, we have a wealth of spiritual encouragement and advice. So I encourage you to pick up a copy of Julian of Norwich and read. Hers is a voice which especially resonates today. In particular, her reflections on evil and suffering speak into our times. Pain and suffering are part of our own experience, and her teaching offers us comfort and hope that God is with us, loves us, and nothing at all can separate us from this love. God's love is so deep that he was willing to suffer and die an excruciating and humiliating death for us, to save us. And he promises in and through Jesus that even though life will inevitably have its ups and downs, and we will experience hard and difficult times as well as good times, we will not be overcome. Let's pay attention to these words, to trust in God, because his love sustains us. So whatever we are facing today, whatever we will be facing in the future, know all shall be well, and all things shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.